Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Then the president places himself beyond accountability, above the law. Cannot be indicted, cannot be impeached. It makes him a monarch.
It's a partisan impeachment that they've delivered to your doorstep in an election year. Some of you are upset because you should be in Iowa right now. But instead, we're here, and they're not ready to go. And it's outrageous.
That, of course, was Mr. Schiff there off the top. And then Patrick Cipollone, who's one of the attorneys for the Trump administration during day one of the impeachment trial in the Senate. Are you ready for day two? Are you excited? Are you ready to go?
I almost can't contain my excitement.
Yeah, me neither. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show in here, along with Tricia Siegman and Denise Schaefer this morning, and kind of keeping you up to date on what's going on. It doesn't start today till around noon Central Time. I believe 1 o'clock Eastern is when they're scheduled to get underway again. And I'm expecting more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, late last night, the snipping got so bad, just after midnight, that John Roberts had to step in and tell him to cut it out. That's not what you're here for. Just give us the facts, that sort of thing. They're going to vote more today. What I wanted to do today was give you a little more inside baseball on how this is going down in the Senate. So let me introduce my guest. Thomas Gipping is with us today, Deputy Director at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, Senior Legal Fellow with Heritage, and, of course, a former legal counsel there for the Senate Judiciary Committee. Thomas, good morning. Welcome back in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So what's your reaction to day one, the display you saw in the Senate yesterday?
Well, I think people probably already, feel a little bit of sympathy for Chief Justice Roberts, in part because he's got to sit there. And I worked in the Senate for 15 years, and I know that it does not look pretty or close up. He's got to sit there and listen to all this, but he's got a real job, you know. He's got to be across the street at the Supreme Court in the morning, and then he comes over at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to, you know, kind of supervise the playground. And then if it works the way it did last night, they didn't take their final vote until almost 2 o'clock this morning. So, he doesn't even really have a substantive role in all of this. So, you know, God bless him. He's a dedicated public servant, that's for sure.
Well,
the votes that they took last night were a stunt by Chuck Schumer. The only thing that was supposed to be debated and voted on was the resolution spelling out the timetable and kind of the structure for the trial. It was very similar, a few differences, but very similar to the plan that was used for the Bill Clinton impeachment trial. And instead of offering amendments to address genuine issues that he might have had, most of Schumer's amendments were simply trying to force the Senate to issue subpoenas for these people who he thinks ought to testify. And in fact, these are people who the House could have forced to testify, but didn't. And these are people who, under McConnell's own resolution, there'd be an opportunity about mid-trial to make these decisions. Schumer tried to force the Senate right up front to take votes on those things. It was nothing but a stunt. Everybody knew what the outcome would be, and it's wasting everybody's time.
It sure seems like it. Here was some of – now, the senators aren't allowed to speak during the actual proceeding, but, of course, Chuck Schumer – found a camera as soon as he got a short break. Here's a cut 23, please.
For then the president to deny the right of Congress to conduct oversight, deny the right to investigate any of his activities, to say Article 2 of the Constitution gives him the right to, quote, do whatever he wants. We are staring down an erosion of the sacred democratic principles for which our founders fought a bloody war of independence.
Yeah, you know, Chuck Schumer also made the correlation that this is part of congressional oversight. I know you've written a piece for Heritage regarding that. What's your reaction to that?
Well, he says that because he wants people to think that this is just part of the ordinary job that Congress has, and that if you cut it short here, if you don't give the Senate everything that it wants here, everything else is going to slide into the abyss. I'm sorry, but that is a lie. That's not just misrepresenting. That is a lie. This is not oversight. Impeachment has its own rules, its own authorities, its own procedures, its own purpose, and all of it is separate from oversight. Oversight's supposed to be connected to the legislative process anyway.
Right.
And you heard Schumer say that Trump is denying the right of the Senate to oversight or investigate. How on earth could a president deny the Senate or the House from investigating anything they wanted? He couldn't do that if he wanted to. And so, I don't know, this Schumer playing the victim, it's kind of like, you know, the guy who shoots his parents and then complains that he's an orphan or something
like that. Yeah, it's a good point. We're talking to Thomas Gipping from Heritage. Thomas, one last question. Part of what they're arguing here is that, you know, the president used executive authority, and that's the equivalent of obstruction of justice.
That's why the second article of impeachment to me is the most dangerous in the sense, but it's also kind of silly because what they did was the House issued subpoenas to get certain people to testify and to try to get certain documents. That happens all the time in investigations. The executive branch refused those subpoenas. What's supposed to happen if you really want the people and the documents is you go to court. They didn't do that. Instead, they just turned the refusal into a second article of impeachment, which is essentially to say, if another branch of government defends its, you know, priorities, and we do have the separation of powers after all, and does what you'd expect another branch of government to do, Congress is going to impeach you for it. Yeah. Congress is going to impeach you for operating within the separation of powers that our founders designed. I mean, it's insane. So that's what that's about. They're really taking advantage of the kind of low level of basic knowledge that a lot of people have about these matters. If you don't know anything, you'll buy anything, I suppose. And they're hoping that people will just accept this false, fictional version of the way our system of government is supposed to run and how the impeachment process is supposed to go.
Well, I love the fact that you can give us that background from your years in the Senate. If people watching this need, I guess the bottom line is it seems like Chuck Schumer can delay. Ultimately, all Mitch McConnell needs is that 51st vote, and he can set the rules however he wants them and conduct this. Given that, do you think this is going to stretch more than a week or two?
Oh, it'll stretch longer than a week or two. The Clinton trial took 5 weeks, and almost six, actually. And you saw already day one that there's these opportunities to force votes and all this kind of stuff. All of the different rulings or questions about evidence that ordinarily the presiding officer would decide, Democrats could demand that the full Senate vote on every single one of them. I think they're going to take every opportunity they can to return to this fake issue of witnesses and subpoenas that the House told us by their own actions were not important.
I see that. I'm sorry. I was looking for a soundbite here I wanted to play for you. For people who aren't aware of basically the rules of the Senate during impeachment, Thomas, I think it was probably a little shocking for some of them to hear this yesterday. Hold on. Hear ye, hear ye.
All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment. while the Senate of the United States is sitting for the trial of the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump, President of the United States.
Though that's how it's written, correct? I mean, they're supposed to sit in utter silence.
Well, that's that's the sergeant at arms who you heard. That proclamation was written, I believe, for the Johnson impeachment trial in the 1860s, and it reflects the kind of gravity that this is supposed to have. Democrats are turning this into just a joke, but it's supposed to have that kind of gravity. That's why the Chief Justice, although he doesn't have a substantive role, presides over the impeachment trial of the president to, again, give it a deeper sense of gravity and of seriousness. Remember, our system of government is based on elections, people being able to choose our own leaders. And impeachment, especially for a first-term president, short-circuits all of that and denies the people the right to choose their own leader. So that's a very serious matter, and things like that proclamation, the structure of the trial, the Chief Justice presiding, is supposed to give it some gravity. Of course, this is the 21st century where almost anything can be mocked and played with.
Well, it's true. And then yesterday, to your point, we had to listen to Adam Schiff make this comment. Cut number 13, please.
Then the president places himself beyond accountability, above the law. Cannot be indicted, cannot be impeached. It makes him a monarch.
You know, we've heard that claim before, which to me, that might have been the most outrageous thing said yesterday. And it's a claim that rarely gets challenged when these folks on the left are making it. I mean, a monarch? Seriously, you have an election in 9 months.
That's a lie, too, because Donald Trump, first of all, cannot place himself above the law, nor has he claimed that he's above the law. The Constitution itself explicitly says that if a president is removed by impeachment, he can still be prosecuted if what he did was criminal. And the law, the Constitution, is being followed in this very impeachment trial. So, you know, it's like the articles of impeachment themselves. When you kind of blow at them a little bit, the smoke seems to shift around a lot. This is not a serious attempt to follow the Constitution's impeachment process.
Yeah, it's a good point. Thomas Gipping joining us here from Heritage. And, you know, for those of you who weren't listening at the top of the hour, in addition to being a legal fellow over at Heritage, worked in the Senate for many years in his role as an attorney and understands deeply what's going on here. You know, I listened to Jonathan Turley during the House impeachment inquiry make the point that what's being attempted here by the Democrats in this country is endangers the presidency moving forward regardless of your party. And I think people have lost sight of that. Do you agree with this point?
I do in a couple of different ways. Number one, at the base of all of this is simply disagreement with the president, opposition to the president with regard to his policies and his presidency. Again, if there's anything that should be left up to elections, it's that. You can't impeach someone simply because you disagree with them. That might be called a revolution.
Yes.
And the second way is this business of the separation of powers being completely disregarded puts not only the presidency, which is in one branch, but also Congress in its branch at risk in terms of the design of how our system is supposed to work. You know, each branch, the founders of our country thought you divide it up into three parts. Each branch is going to fight to retain what it does get. There's going to be competition. There's going to be resistance when one branch wants the other to simply, you know, take a knee. And that's what's going on here. But, you know, I think President Trump has news for Adam Schiff. Just because the House says jump, the executive branch is not going to ask, well, how high? You know, there's going to be interests that are going to be defended. That's how our system is supposed to work. And House Democrats have tried to turn that into an impeachable offense.
For the people who missed it early, one of the suggested amendments that Chuck Schumer introduced would have changed the rules to an extent that it would have been a little different than what President Clinton faced. Oddly enough, Susan Collins voted in favor of that and against the Republicans on that case. But isn't it the height of fairness if you're subjecting this president to the same rules of impeachment that the last one faced?
Well, of course, we've discussed that from the very beginning of the House impeachment. I mean, the Republicans in the House wanted to follow the same pattern as the last presidential impeachment, and that president, of course, was a Democrat. But House Democrats refused and rigged the rules in their favor. Now, here we are in the Senate. McConnell wants to use the same basic framework that the Senate voted 100-0 to use for the Clinton trial. In other words, all Republicans supported using that approach for a Democratic president's impeachment. Republicans want to use the same approach for a Republican president's impeachment. That's as bipartisan, nonpartisan, I suppose, as fair as you can get. Democrats are the ones that are flip-flopping based on the party of the president.
Yeah, it's a great point. And Thomas, one last question for you here. Is there any such thing as double jeopardy when it comes to the impeachment of a president? If he's vindicated here in the Senate, if they find no finding of truth with these impeachment articles, can they try him again? Can they try to impeach him again for the exact same reason?
Well, as a legal matter, the formal principle of double jeopardy, which operates in a criminal trial, that doesn't apply technically in the impeachment process, but the principle is the same. Frankly, if the Senate acquits the president, or should I say when the Senate acquits the president, should he get reelected and the House wants to re-impeach a reelected president, let him try.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Or, I guess, heaven forbid, the president wins reelection, but the Senate flips for some reason, and the Democrats control both houses, they could make another run at it.
They could, but remember, conviction requires two-thirds in the Senate.
True.
Not the simple majority that it requires in the House. But my point is, if the American people say, look, we want him to be president even though he was impeached, and the House is stupid enough to try to impeach him again, go ahead.
Yep.
High
drama. Give it a try. Thomas Gipping, thanks so much for your insight today. We appreciate you.
Sure, anytime.
You bet. Heritage.org, and just let me tell you, Tom Gipping wrote a couple of great articles on this for the Daily Signal, which is the online publication for Heritage Foundation. If you go to the Daily Signal, you can see a couple of these where he talks about 8 things you need to know and why he thinks there are people in the Senate trying to rig this impeachment trial, including Chuck Schumer. Some great pieces on there. Just to make sure you've got the facts when you go to the water cooler today or you're sitting around having a beer with your friends and they try to lead you astray on what this is really about. It's not following proper procedure up to this point at all. That's the bottom line. Hey, you know what? Stacey Washington is going to get to the bottom line with us here in just a couple of minutes. Got Stacey on the right coming up at 7:35. My friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is in here about 8:35 this morning. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Our country's been tied up with this hoax from the day I came down the escalator. We've been fighting it. I've been fighting it from the day I've been elected. I would say probably long before. It could be long before I came down the escalator. That some people have said that, which is hard to believe. Shout the battle cry.
You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior. Stacey on the right joining us this morning. Stacey Washington, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm just living my life in the age of impeachment.
So you, like me, you spent, 18 hours yesterday glued to the TV watching every breath taken, right?
No.
No, me neither.
No, I didn't. I did watch little snippets of it, and I did try to stay abreast of it, but it is just too much for me to handle. And I don't mean it because it's so consequential or because I think there's this huge bombshell that has broken open or is about to. It's just too much for me to handle that they're wasting my taxpayer dollars this way. We're getting close to tax time. We're in tax season. And this is always kind of a tough time of year for me because I think a lot of the money that we work for the first 3 or 4 months of the year to pay to our federal government is wasted. And I also think a lot of people aren't held accountable for that. I know you might have seen that there's this huge lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refused to give immunity to the knuckleheads in Flint, Michigan, who switched the water from the water supply from Lake Huron to the river. And the river caused lead to leach from the pipes, and people got sick, and it's just been an awful tragedy. And then taxpayers across the country gave $400,000 for them to fix the problem, and they used a huge chunk of that money to organize basketball leagues. And so this is just one example of many that you know, taxpayer dollars are wasted. Even extra taxpayer dollars that are spent are wasted, and no one's ever held accountable. We don't see people going to jail or getting a death penalty for the lives that were lost in the fires that are connected to PG&E out in California. Environmentalists never have to pay the price for the fact that most of our homeless population lives in California. And most of the people who live in California who are homeless not because there's not enough room to build buildings, but because restrictive covenants on building prevent developers from building affordable housing because environmentalists are scared that if too many people have an apartment, the earth might die. So people are never held accountable for their actions when they're in government. And I think that they should be. And then we have President Trump, who hasn't done anything wrong, who the Democrats want to hold accountable for kicking the stuffing out of Hillary Clinton in 2016. And so everything's just upside down, bizarro world. And whatever I can do to maintain a sense of normalcy, I'm going to do it. So that means not watching 18 hours of their garbage, just reading the summaries and watching the clips and just trying to make sure that if there was anything, I would care, Mark. I would care if the president had actually bribed or forced someone or coerced someone or committed a high crime or misdemeanor. I would care about that. But we know he didn't do that, and so I'm just tired of them wasting my time.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a great way to put that in perspective, Stacey. I heard Hakeem Jeffries yesterday say, what this president has done makes Richard Nixon look like a choir boy. I'm sorry, did this president go back and erase tapes and, you know, try to cover up a break-in at DNC headquarters? The ridiculousness of it is amazing, and it all gets back to their ability to take to the bank the fact that most Americans don't pay attention and don't know their history. So there are people who will swallow that hook, line, and sinker because they don't know any better.
Well, okay, so Richard Nixon, I mean, that's a part of our history that, first of all, we should know it well, yes. And we should be concerned if anyone else were to take those extraordinary actions. But I have to point out, historically speaking, the reason that Republicans are much less likely to commit acts like that than Democrats is because of Richard Nixon, yes. Because of the actions taken by Republicans in leadership and this entire shame that was attached to the Republican Party after Nixon stepped down. It made it really difficult for people to get away with the kind of stuff we see so routinely on the left. And I just want to know, again, I'm back to accountability. When do we see Hunter Biden drug in there? When do we see Joe Biden brought in for his discussion about getting someone fired in the Ukraine for looking into prosecuting his son for doing wrong deals over there in the Ukraine? And the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that have flowed through certain families, Clinton, Biden, and others. Look at Harry Reid. I mean, there are books that have been written. Michelle Malkin has written them. Tucker Carlson touched on it in Book of Fools. There are so many documented, well-documented, the history is there. The information is there. We know the corruption is rampant, and it is it's a little heavy on the Democrat side. I'm not saying there aren't corrupt Republicans, but the Democrats have a real, like a corner on partying it up in D.C. at the expense of taxpayers and connecting their jobs and access to their power to enriching themselves. When do we see someone held accountable for that? The prosecution of Mike Flynn is another glaring example of people being punished for who they're connected to or made an example of for getting in the face of someone who was a little bit too powerful and well-connected for that person's own good. So President Trump is going to be prosecuted. And if the Democrats could, they'd have Ivanka Trump up there. They have Don Jr. They'd be prosecuting the whole family. They'd even have Barron and Melania on a court somewhere sitting there sworn in talking about whatever they think they've done wrong. We need to start looking at the people who've actually committed crimes and hold them accountable, because otherwise everybody else out here in hinterland where we dwell, we kind of have to wonder, why are we paying attention to the speed limit and paying our taxes and towing the line so judiciously? Mostly because we are people of integrity. It's not the law that's making us do that. It's because we want to be right. But there is a point where people stop caring about following the law if the elites don't have to follow it.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I'm short on time. I've got about a minute left. But let's talk about what's important. In Virginia last night, the Senate voted to advance the red flag law, along with all of the other restrictive gun laws that they're about to push on the American people. I hope that everyone paid attention to the huge number of Second Amendment supporters that showed up in Richmond this week.
So I knew a lot of people on the ground there in Richmond, and it was beautiful. And all I got to say is 2021 seems like it's a long time away, but people of Virginia should remember that they have two opportunities to right the wrongs that are happening to them. I mentioned last time I talked to you, it was only 10,000 votes that gave the Democrats power, and it won't take that many votes to take it back. So Virginians have to remember this sense of absolute disenfranchisement this fall for the presidential election, and in 2021 when they have a chance to change their legislature again. And if that fails, they should go ahead and accept the offer from West Virginia and move their counties into West Virginia. I think it's a viable option. They should do it.
I saw that. That's a great idea. Stacey Washington, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. StaceyOnTheRight.com is her website. Be sure you're following her on Twitter as well. Good stuff. Hey, let's get to a break. You know what we haven't talked about this morning?
What's that?
The coronavirus, which has landed on U.S. shores. Should you be concerned? We'll chat about it up next.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eagers.com.
It's a partisan impeachment that they've delivered to your doorstep.
The president's actions are crimes against democracy itself.
This is the United States Senate. You're not in charge here.
The Constitution doesn't allow what just took place.
I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are.
I own 12-gauge shotgun.
I don't know if Joe's going to limp across the line.
Don't screw around with me, bud. That's kind of what Joe would say to that, I think. Wow. I'm telling you what a day it was yesterday. No doubt about that. Here's the deal. Have you heard of this coronavirus?
Yes. I don't know much about it.
Kind of alarming. You know, it's kind of like that SARS thing that was floating around a few years ago. I guess my biggest confusion is it comes from China.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of would have expected it to come from Mexico. It's Corona. Virus. Sorry.
Oh.
I don't know where they came up with that.
I did not know where that was
just saying.
Going.
Anyway, they've got a guy in Washington State who apparently flew there directly from the city in China where this thing broke out originally and was actually able to get into the country before they increased screenings at the airport to detect people that might have been infected. Mm-hmm. So he snuck in because, you know, these days a virus is just one plane ride away from being in our country. I mean, it can come from anywhere in the world. So apparently it is similar to Ebola and SARS because they think that it was transmitted between animals and people. That's how they think it's been around for a long time, but it's only been known to exist in animals. It's very contagious, can be spread by coughing and sneezing and through close contact. There's no vaccine yet. They're working on it. But somebody at the emergency room physician, they said, here's the deal. You should probably be more worried about the flu right now than this coronavirus. We know it's out there. We're working on something to control it. It does have the ability to take you very quickly to a place where you could be in critical distress because it attacks the lungs, mm-hmm. and people complain of a shortness of breath. So clearly people who are already, whose health is compromised in some other way, might be taken to a critical state more quickly.
Well, that's like the flu, too. When you get the flu, if you're,
you're already...
Kids, the elderly, people that are sick are more susceptible to.
Here's the scary part about it. The Lunar New Year is Saturday in China. And because of that, they're concerned that millions of holiday travelers across Asia will fuel the spread of the disease. So far, they've had 291 outbreaks in China since December. Only one in the U.S. confirmed so far, a couple in Thailand, South Korea, but they're expecting that number to go through the roof because it's the lunar holiday. So anyway, that's what we know about the coronavirus.
It's not from Mexico.
It is not from Mexico.